I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon, welcome to The Memo. It is Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. I'm Derek Russell, along with me, Brad Locke. Brad, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Derek. It's Brad Locke.
It's Locke. Nice haircut.
Been working here for how long? Oh, thanks.
You doing something different with your hair?
Yeah, I got it cut. Got the beard trimmed.
Did
I don't,
you?
I don't. I gave up trying to catch Riley Manning as far as beard thickness. It's pretty amazing.
It's a good thing to say since Riley Manning's here in the studio.
Sure
with
is.
Us.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, we have Riley in here. We're gonna have some other people in here later. Good show.
We do have a lot of news to cover today.
We do. It's the last day of September, by the way.
It is. October upon us. We'll actually be talking about Oktoberfest a little later in the show with our business reporter, Dennis Sid.
Yes, we will. October, my second favorite month, next to December, because Christmas and it's my birthday. So
Christmas is your birthday.
No. December, well, December 2nd, but my birthday is in December, so it's my
Christmas
favorite month.
Is my birthday. Oh, your birthday
Christmas,
is on the 25th? No, it's
I said
the 2nd.
Christmas and my birthday.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Just
it's a crucial
that up
conjunction you didn't catch there.
Don't buy Brad gifts. It goes to his head.
but Riley had a good story today. Thoroughly enjoyed it, Riley.
Thanks, guys.
Dickie Scruggs, our old friend Dickie Scruggs. He's out of jail now.
He is.
Y'all people recall he... got sent to jail for, 6 years on federal charges of conspiring to bribe a judge. Mm-hmm. And he's served his time. That was back in 07. And now he's out. And he's got a newfound purpose, doesn't he, Riley?
Yeah. You know, even if you don't know the ins and outs of Dickie's story, his name is definitely recognizable. And, you know, he's actually kind of making that work to his advantage. You know, we were talking yesterday and he told me, you know, he said when he got out of jail, he didn't know if people were going to cross on the other side of the street to avoid him or not return his calls or whatever. But I think there were 3 books written about him. Anyway, when he was in prison, he found kind of some purpose in helping inmates earn their GEDs in prison, which is a requirement. I didn't know this, but the federal prison system requires its inmates to work towards the GED if they don't have a high school diploma or equivalent already, which is really neat. So as he's like tutoring these men, there is, he's in prison. He got out in 2014, so he's in prison for 6 years. That puts him going in at about 2008, right? So around 2012, 2013, comes to light that there's going to be a change in protocol of the GED test. So there's 5 sections to the GED test. And as it was when he started tutoring, if you passed one section, you didn't have to complete that section again. You could just focus on the sections that you weren't strong in or you didn't pass. But in 2014, that changed to where you had to pass all of them in one taking of the test. And so the prison's GED system is trying to rush as many inmates through the degree as possible so they can get in before that protocol gets into place.
And now that he's out of prison, Dickie is, after helping those people in prison, he wants to continue that work. I mean, we know Mississippi has a bad dropout problem, high school kids, and so he's got this initiative called Second Chance Mississippi to kind of fund and help the community college-sponsored GED programs.
Right, and so when he gets out of prison, not college, he wants to keep moving forward in this progress towards helping people get their GEDs, and he finds that the community colleges are kind of under the same strain, rushing people through to get in before this protocol, and he reached out to Hines Community College to offer help in any way he could. And so what Second Chance tries to do is raise funds and awareness for community college GED programs to help their students. Say, like the Rotary Club, Tupelo, Mississippi, wants to get involved. Second Chance will let them choose a GED student at a community college in Mississippi, and you're kind of their sponsor.
Right.
So if they need daycare money or get really sick, a lot of these people are living on the margin of poverty already. And, Scruggs said that they were 1 flat tire away from being dropouts the second time around. And that's pretty tough. So that's what the Second Chance Initiative is trying to do, is pair organizations with these students just to give them sort of a life raft as they try to get back on the right track.
And like you said, you know, when he got out of prison, he was not sure how people would receive him. He seemed very, he wanted to do this, but he wasn't sure that anybody would want to sign on with him. And now he's got this initiative going, and he's got an advisory board with people like Archie Manning, Morgan Freeman, Robert Kayyad. I mean, it seems like people are really latched on to this.
Yeah, I mean, the statistics are pretty bad. There are as many dropouts in Mississippi as there are children in school K through 12.
Jeez.
So about 500,000 people, you know, that's... If you could take those people and make them productive, most GED programs are run by community colleges. And in Mississippi, they also teach you a trade up through the level of an associate's degree in like culinary arts or welding or whatever. And so it's very like region specific. So like on the coast, there's a big need for welders. And so
Right. There's
a big emphasis on that there so that when they graduate, they don't have to face the expense of moving halfway across the state or whatever to get a job. They can kind of stay where they're at, you know, get right into employment. They have a pretty high success rate with that, so.
Cool. Well, seems like a really cool deal. Y'all can find out more about the Second Chance Mississippi online, secondchancems.com, and read Riley's story today in the journal at djournal.com. Riley, it's good stuff, man.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, Emma Croft for joining us now. Emma, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Derek?
Doing well. Emma handles our education side of things here at the Mighty Daily Journal. And we talked a few weeks ago about the upcoming Career Expo happening at the Bancorp South Arena next week. But as we get closer, obviously it's a big deal. More details coming out about it. So I'd like to pick your brain and get some more information about this huge event going on for eighth graders in the area next week.
Yeah, so it's all coming together from what I've heard. The schools are really trying to prep the kids and get them ready so that they go in and they really get the most out of it. There are 16 career pathways, and that's like a national thing that kids study in the seventh and eighth grade. And then the expo is kind of set up along the same lines, but they've added two more pathways, I think engineering and aerospace.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, but I think that's what they are. But anyway, so they've set up the Career Expo to kind of match that. So as they've gone through these lessons in class, the students, you know, are also preparing to say like, well, this pathway interests me a lot. You know, they're preparing to pick which ones they want to visit when they get there. So it matches up really well for them. So I know a lot of teachers they're saying, okay, pick three, you know, that you really want to go to, and we'll go in and knock them out, and you guys can really get the most out of it by seeing what you're interested in. So a lot of that kind of prep and planning, getting them thinking about what they're most interested in.
This is happening over 2 days, correct?
Mm-hmm. Tuesday and Wednesday.
Are the kids coming back both days, or is it a different group of eighth graders coming Wednesday that are coming on Tuesday?
They're different groups each day.
Okay, each day.
Yeah.
We're actually going to be there. Having a journalism pathway, I guess. In addition to that, also doing a live podcast from the Career Expo, so that's really neat. We talked about some of the cool things they're going to be having a few weeks ago. Rock climbing wall, there's supposed to be a helicopter. There's going to be an 18-wheeler parked inside the arena.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of interesting stuff. Have you
Crazy
heard of
stuff.
Any new things?
I heard about one this morning, actually, that they're going to have a Boeing 747 cockpit there for the kids to like get in and sit in. And
that's where we're doing the live podcast from.
Yeah. But yeah, so I heard about that one this morning during an interview, somebody mentioned that. And so it sounds like it's just going to be crazy.
Yeah.
In the best way.
So they get to go and spend pretty much all day at this place. Is it sanctioned off?
Well, they get 90 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to have to, that's kind of, you know, why they're prepping them. They want them to make sure they go in and see what they want to see and get to see as much as they can, because there's so many eighth graders coming that they've got to kind of cycle them in and out.
Do you know a count of how many we're going to be?
It's over 3,000.
Wow.
I don't know the exact number, but over 3,000 was the last like estimate that I heard.
So that must be a lot of schools participating in this.
Yeah.
From the area.
It's like 7 counties. So that's a lot of school districts and a lot of eighth graders, and there will be a lot of them.
Well, it looks like there's going to be a whole lot to do. I think I'm going to try to sneak in the cockpit myself. Maybe we do need to do the podcast from there. I think that's a great idea. The acoustics would be wonderful.
Take off too while we...
The cockpit, I'd rather not. There's no wings, no engines. I'm not...
It'd be a very intimate setting to do a podcast in. What's tight
it,
quarters.
We'll look like, is it like it is right now. We're sitting next to each other. Co-captain.
We'd have to be closer.
Yeah, we wouldn't like that at all. Emma, anything else we need to know about the Career Expo?
I don't think so. It's going to be really cool, and I'm excited to see what all goes on, and hopefully the kids will be excited too. So,
all right. So you 8th graders, look for us at the journalism booth next Tuesday and Wednesday. Specifically Wednesday, we'll be recording the memo live from the Career Expo at Bancorp South Arena. Emma Crawford, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, y'all.
Joining us now is our resident business expert, Dennis Sid. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are y'all today?
Doing well. I've got a couple of things I want to talk to you about. One, I want to discuss with you the timeliness of it, with it being the last day of September, is the 1st of October tomorrow. Harkens to Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
The second annual Oktoberfest happening in downtown Fair Park. Tell us a little bit about this festivity.
Like you said, it's the second one of these, and the Downtown Main Street Association is bringing back the best of the best. They're going to have more than a dozen beers available. Well, not downtown, but the distributor there. And Marguerite with Simply Sweet by Marguerite is going to be providing all the authentic German foods like schnitzel, bratwurst, sauerkraut, apple strudel, and pretzels.
The Bavarian smorgasbord.
Exactly. And there'll be music. There'll be dancing.
Go ahead and pronounce the name of the band.
It's a German band. Mitternachter something. My apologies. I probably just declared war on somebody. So. Or said something obscene. Sorry about that, folks.
This is a cool thing. It started last year. Kind of tell me about the origin of this.
I think it was one of the things that when Grommer, the German automotive company, came in, I think there was some talk about, hey, let's do a festival to something to add to the downtown experience. And with Grommer coming in, they thought, hey, this is new. And so they tried it for the first time last year, had people in Lederhosen drinking beers, clinking wine, beer steins, and apparently worked so well, they're going to do it again.
That's the mentality. If something works,
exactly.
If it ain't broke, do it don't again. Fix it.
Exactly.
This kicks off tomorrow night at 6, I believe, in Fair Park.
Yes.
All right. So live music, food. Cost is $20, I believe.
$20 gets you two beer tickets and a beer schnein, and then additional tickets are $5 each. Each ticket allows you one beer. So
is it free to just come hear the music
out? It's free. Okay. But if you want to drink and get the beer schnein, you have to pay for that. So if you want to just hang around and listen to music, yep, it is absolutely free.
And I assume the food costs, of course, as well.
Yes.
Yes.
I saw Marguerite, speaking of which, on Saturday at Walmart, and she was loading up her basket. She said it's going to be... It's going to be fun.
I could really go for a pretzel right now, now that you're talking. Hey. Not that your cinnamon streusel evil bread or whatever you've brought here to the studio.
I worked really hard on that.
Yeah, I could tell with the Walmart label on it.
It's Kroger.
Kroger label, excuse me.
Same difference.
Speaking of Walmart and Kroger, how you like this segue?
Good segue.
Let's talk a little bit about something that's fascinated me over the past few months, this new credit card chip that I have on a few of my cards, and that... When I go to Target, not in Tupelo, because there's not a Target in Tupelo, but the last few times I've gone at Target, the machine screams at me after I put my card in it. It's a whole new system, basically.
Well, for us in the U.S., it's new. This is a technology that's been running around since the late 90s in Europe. Basically, you'll get these new credit card and debit cards if you haven't gotten already. There's a small little square rectangular, square chip.
It's a square rectangular chip.
Square chip. And basically, it's you sort of dip or tap your credit card, debit card into the readers instead of swiping it like you do now. And it takes a few seconds longer, but what it does is it creates a different transaction every time that you're ringing up. Whereas the old magnetic strips, that's why it's so easy for folks to grab information and steal your cards and steal the information and fraud and all that. Now, it won't totally eliminate fraud, but it'll cut down on it. At least that's the hope. Banks are kind of rolling it out slowly because they're cost $350, $4 per card to replace. And if you have 100,000 customers, I mean, that adds up. Mm-hmm. It's free to consumers, but you'll be getting these new cards in the next couple of years or so, and you use them just like you do now, just slightly different process, but it's for your safety, for your security, and you'll see them. I got a couple calls this morning from folks who said they didn't get their cards, but don't call your bank. You'll be getting them eventually.
They're going to try to time it with expirations when you're getting your new card anyway. You'll be getting this chip. You're not missing out by not having one at the moment.
And not every retailer has the little terminals that read the cards.
And I've been surprised at what does and what doesn't. Our producer, Chris Kiefer, and I were in a store, a local store yesterday, and they had one. I know that everybody's going to have to go towards that, but just to go from Walmart to Target and see them, but then to go to a locally owned business and them have a new reader was fairly interesting as well. The fact that it's been around since the 90s in other countries is also interesting to me, and that we're just now catching on to this.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the reasoning was behind that. I'm sure the big banks had something, and the credit card companies here probably had something to do with that. But sometimes we're slow on the uptake.
I guess there's been some variations of this in the past. It seems like MasterCard or Discover had a keychain credit card a few years ago that was like a tap, and it didn't. I don't really remember much coming from that pay-and-go type. McDonald's was like the only place I ever saw, but I never saw anybody use it.
Didn't gain much traction from that.
And so then Apple Pay, of course, has taken off for Apple to be able to pay with your phone. I actually bought a coin card. Have you seen these?
I haven't.
I bought it. I got it off of Kickstarter like a year and a half ago, and I've still not received it, but I keep getting updates about it. But basically, it is a programmable credit card. It has a USB port in it, and you plug it into your computer. And you program, it's got a swiping mechanism, and you swipe all your cards into this one card. And then it's got a button on it where you can shuffle through what card, you only have to use the one card to pay with.
Nope.
It does have the chip in it, but you can shuffle through, like it'll come up and say, you have to remember what you programmed them as, a Visa 1, MasterCard 1, if you've got more multiples at you know, Visa 2, MasterCard 2, but you use one card all across the board.
That's pretty cool.
And I keep wondering, as fast as technology has changed with some of this stuff, if it's already outdated. But it was, you know, $40. I thought it was a neat little gadget for $40. And
you're all into the new gadgets.
To be able to load all your cards onto one thing seemed like an interesting idea to me. You were talking about the tapping, and most of what I have seen is like the ATM machine that's sucking my card up in. And as I said, if it, Target, it screams at me when I leave the card in too long. It makes a horrendous noise. Yeah. Well, it sounds like there's very, we go back to our Price is Right joking, there's very positive sounding sound effects and there's very negative sounding sound effects.
It's a very negative
sound. It is a very negative sounding sound effect, almost to the point it sounds like your card's being declined after it gets in there. And every time I'm like, well, I have money, I promise. But it's just remove card, blinking really fast at me. I've not noticed that anywhere else, but Target just apparently wants to make me feel bad about myself. But I'm interested to see if the tap is used more frequently in the months moving forward. I've already gotten it on two cards. What I found interesting is neither one were about to expire.
I think the the major credit card companies were the first to roll out the cards, and then it'll be the banks, the smaller banks especially, that'll
so we will take see their it time in debit cards. It
yes.
Okay. All right. Because I got a new debit card not too long ago.
That was up
for expiration and did not have one, so I was curious about that.
My debit doesn't expire until 2017, so that's when I expect to see my chip embedded card, unless I happen to lose it.
Well, it's interesting possible. To see. I know a lot of the, as we said, a lot of the places you'll see changing over. I know we talked about the Bancorp South Arena is having to move to a new system for their concession sales because their software is so outdated. It's over 10 years old, and they're having to move towards a chip system throughout the whole building there.
And it's not cheap.
No, it is not whatsoever. As you said, the cards alone are $3 or $4. So when you have, there's no telling how many customers Discover has.
And those POS terminals, as in point of sale, that's POS, they cost anywhere from $500 to $2,000. So if you're, you know, small store, that's a pretty big investment.
Yeah.
And not everybody is going to jump on it right away. And if you get one of the cards with the chips in it, you can use it. If the store you go to doesn't have the new terminal, you can use it like your standard card with a mayonnaise stripe. It'll still come with the stripe. You can use it either way. So have no fears.
Thanks, Dennis. We appreciate you joining us today. All right, from credit cards to food, I'm hungry. Brad,
I'm very hungry.
I hear some chicken and dumplings would be good.
Chicken and dumplings would be good.
We might talk about that next time, but for this time, we've got Jenna Parsons joining us. Jenna, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
Jenna, something I learned about you today, which is should not be surprising, but you have apparently about 400 cookbooks, a lot of cookbooks.
It is a lot of cookbooks.
I don't think I have that many books.
We have probably 6 bookcases in the house full of them. They're on my bedside table. They're on Charlie's bedside table. They're in the children's bookcases. They're underneath the children's beds. We would stack them on the cats if they would stay still long enough.
Wow. You're the food editor. I guess you're supposed to indulge in such
Well,
things.
My mom was a cookbook collector, so I have some of hers, but she also started my sister and me collecting years ago. And then I get a lot of them through the office. You know, publishers will send me cookbooks, and I get a lot from local churches. They will often send me cookbooks so that they can get a plug when they're trying to sell them. So I have everything.
Well, I learned that little tidbit in your column today, which talks about a recipe you took from the Crown of Southern Cooking, which is from that restaurant we talked about before in mm-hmm. Indianola.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken breast a la orange. Sounds good.
It turned out pretty good. It was very good. And the tip that was given at the top of the recipe said that at the very end, you continue to baste it until it's really deeply browned. It'll almost look burned. But it makes it like a barbecue sauce, and it was very good.
Good. Y'all can find that recipe, by the way, in her column in today's journal and djournal.com. Let's talk about some other people cooking stuff. Over in the Brewer community here near Tupelo, Saturday morning they're going to have a bake sale, bazaar / rummage sale, whatever.
Right.
So all kinds of stuff to be bought, including, again, lots of food. What all can you pick up there Saturday morning?
You can get frozen foods, frozen casseroles, meat casseroles, vegetable casseroles, fresh baked goods, pies, cakes, candies, a few jams and jellies. This is the 8th year that they've had this. They first started doing it to pay off the building fund.
Right.
And they were really successful with it, so much so that 2 years ago they paid off the building fund. And so for the last year and this year, the money will be used for the women's club projects.
Okay. This is a Brewer United Methodist Church.
It is. Right. In the Brewer community. It's not very hard to find. It's right off the Brewer Road exit, and they're good people.
Starts at the 7 a.m. Saturday in the Fellowship Hall, and if you get there early enough, the men of the church will be selling sausage biscuits for
breakfast. Sausage biscuits for $1. Coffee and water are free, and then around 10, they'll start making hamburgers and hot dogs.
I might have to just go out to Brewer and hang out for the day. Goodness.
There's a community-wide rummage sale, so everybody in the community, homes, businesses, will have stuff for sale out in their driveways and carports. You can make a day of it.
Are these bake sales and bazaars, is that like a Methodist thing? I'm a Presbyterian. We don't have those.
We do them at the Episcopal Church. The Catholic Church does them. The Pentecostals do them. You know, as much as Baptists eat, I don't know that I've ever had a Baptist church that has one of these.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Anyway, so that's Saturday morning over in Brewer. And also in today's food section, Jenna, before we get you out of here, Cook of the Week. Lovely lady from Centerville. I guess that's in the Auburn area, correct?
It is. Okay. It's in Itawamba County near Mantachie.
Itawamba County. Okay. Anyway, I like when she was talking about her childhood that when she wanted a dress made or something by her mother was like, well, okay, but
you got to cook
supper,
dinner.
Cook
that's
supper.
Right.
It's a trade-off.
That's how she started, and she hasn't stopped since. Actually, she called this morning before I came in here and said that her phone started ringing at 6:30. People calling to tell them that they had seen the story and seen the photograph and how pleased they were to read about her. So yeah. Give a little shout-out to Regina Dickinson.
Yeah, Regina Dickinson. And something that I thought was interesting in the story, she said she's a big time on seasonal cooking. Like, she's not going to make soup in the summer and whatnot. I don't know how, I mean, are you kind of the same way? I don't know how, I don't cook, so I have no idea.
No, I usually cook whatever I want. If I want chicken and dressing in June, I make it.
Right.
But, you know, she's actually doing what all the chefs are doing at the locally owned restaurants, cooking sure. seasonally what's in season because it's better, it's fresher, and it's generally less expensive.
Okay, makes sense. Okay, y'all can, again, read this at djournal.com. Pick up a copy of the Daily Journal. Food section. Jenna, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, like I said, I'm hungry. Now I'm hungrier than I was, Derek.
Yeah, understandably so.
But, hey, good show.
And off mic, she teased a little chicken and dumpling talk. So,
oh, she did, yeah.
So I'm interested in that.
Go for some chicken and dumplings.
Hey, I know it's not Monday, and I know it's not local.
I already know
where
you're
going. But I feel the need to discuss this
yeah.
in an open mic setting. I sent this to Chris and Brad last night. This is a police report I found from San Diego.
San Diego.
San
Stay
Diego.
Classy.
San Diego. This is from September 15th. Usually when you do the police reports, you paraphrase them on your tip sheet blog.
Right.
Generally, when we get the police reports, they're in a, at least from the city of Tupelo, they're in full block paragraph style.
Police speak.
It's police.
Lingo.
We got three schools on lockdown.
Okay, we need to cut. You good? All right, apologize for that interruption. Had a little excitement here that we needed to actually go be reporters for a minute and not be podcasters for just a second. Had a partial lockdown at three campuses here in Tupelo Public School District, Fillmore Center, Tupelo Middle School, and Pier Street Elementary, Brad.
Yeah, apparently what happened was a pair of brothers got in a fight at home, and one brother shot the other one, and as of right now, as we're talking, we don't know his condition, the shooter, 14-year-old kid, went on to school, Tupelo Middle School, and I believe the school resource officer, after they found out what happened, apprehended him, and so he's off the campus now, and they're dealing with that. So
partial lockdown has been lifted on all three
campuses.
It has been.
Of course, by the time y'all are hearing this, we'll probably know even more details. Djournal.com. Just keep it there for the latest on that story. But sometimes the middle of doing the podcast, the news happens, and that takes priority. So
yes.
We had to go deal with that, but we're back.
All right.
Anyway,
well, let's. Going back into what we were discussing before that happened, on a lighter note, just to liven things up, oddly enough, we were discussing police reports. These are written, as you said, in police lingo, all caps. So, and sometimes the all caps makes the story even better, especially in this one. September 15th, San Diego, male Navy enlisted first class petty officer exited a bar intoxicated in an attempt to drive a POV equipped with a breathalyzer interlock system. That's one of those that you have to blow under a certain amount to be able to start the car.
So we've got a drunk sailor.
So you've got, no, yeah,
no, nothing,
you've got,
nothing unique there.
Exiting the premises. And obviously this isn't his first rodeo since the car has one of these installed on it.
Yeah.
So he goes out to try to start the car. Suspect was too intoxicated to successfully start the vehicle, so he went into the park where he captured a raccoon rummaging in a trash receptacle. Individual utilized, I love that term, utilized the raccoon to blow into the interlock system successfully.
Wow.
He put the raccoon's mouth on the breathalyzer here's where it takes a turn. The raccoon became unconscious from being squeezed and was discarded on the floorboard of the vehicle.
On the floorboard.
So he successfully starts the car with the utilization of said raccoon.
That's creative on-the-spot thinking,
but
I guess.
But unfortunately, it was a bit too much for the raccoon. The raccoon passes out, as much as this petty officer should have. And instead of discarding the raccoon, and the raccoon's, we don't know yet if he's dead or not in the story, but instead of exiting from the vehicle, he just throws him in the floor passenger.
I'll take care of that later.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
He got the car started. He served his purpose. Until a short time later when the raccoon regained consciousness and began to attack the suspect while driving, causing the vehicle to crash into a residential fence. The vehicle came to a complete stop, however, in an in-ground swimming pool. The suspect sustained numerous scratches and bite marks to the hands, face, stomach, and arms. I got to give it to this guy. Today we salute you, Mr. Used a Raccoon to Beat a Breathalyzer Guy. He pulled it off. That is one of the best stories I have ever heard, and probably the best police report, events report
I just wish
read.
It had been local.
The raccoon got his, though. I mean, he came back and attacked the guy.
Good for him.
Poor raccoon. At least he lived to tell the tale. What a story he had to go back to tell his other raccoon.
My sister's
buddies.
In the Air Force. I'm going to have to send that to her. She'll get a kick out of it.
That is just a fantastic story. And I wouldn't even, like, if that was my fence, I wouldn't even be mad. I mean, I got a story out of that. This guy used a raccoon to blow in a breathalyzer and got the car started. Raccoon attacked him, drove through my fence and into my pool. I mean, that's what better story do you have than that?
Something you can tell your grandkids about.
That's so classic. So classic. Hey, it's National Podcast Day.
It sure is.
So it's a good thing we're doing this. It's timely.
It is timely. All of you listening, since it's National Podcast Day, should tell your friends to listen to a podcast, specifically this one.
And leave us a review on iTunes.
Yes, please. 5-star review would be preferable. I'd take 4 stars. Maybe 3.
I don't accept anything less than 5 stars.
Okay. Well, I'm easy to please, I guess.
If you want to be Derek's friend, 5-star review now.
Leave a 5-star review and say this. Brad Lockie is the best podcast host in the world.
Now didn't Riley say it a while ago now? Somebody spelled
Lockie. Everybody's catching on. It's coming back. It's fine.
Yeah. This guy in high school used to go, Lockie?
Yeah,
so I mean,
that's why
it's really not the first time. Yeah.
That's what you get for having a ye old E on the end of your name.
My fault.
Well, you kept it. You can change it. You can make your name anything you want.
I like it.
Okay.
Makes me seem sophisticated. Okay. Hey,
so that's your new haircut, by the way.
Yeah, my new haircut.
Are you doing
something
different, or are you
just
on the
got
side?
A trim to get the beard trimmed down. Hey, y'all need to check out Thrive Marketing if you're a local business, because they do full service digital marketing. They provide websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services. Thrive.ms. Okay.
That about does it for today.
That does it. But we'll be back tomorrow.
We will be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. And as I said, next week, join us at the Career Expo at the Bancorp South Arena in Tupelo. We'll be coming to you live doing the memo from there.
That'll
our
be
first
fun.
Remote.
Ooh, shenanigans will probably happen.
Shenanigans will ensue.
Yeah.
But thanks for joining us today. I'm Derek Russell. You can follow me on Twitter at WDerekRussell. Brad's on the Twitter at Brad Lockie. Lock with an E. I mean, it's the best way to do it, because if you just say lock, they're going to do L-O-C-K.
Probably, and who knows who they'll find then. I have to go look whoever is Brad Lock without an E on Twitter and see who that is. I just hope it's not like some criminal ex-con.
It's the guy that drove off into the...
I hope it's not a Navy guy in San Diego.
Brad Lock is Bradley Blaylock, and he's not tweeted since 2011, so...
Psst. What a waste. Bradley Blaylock. Too many L's in that name.
Bradley Blaylock?
Yeah.
It's just 3 L's.
I don't like them already.
I got 2 in Russell.
I already don't like them.
That's profiling. That's problematic. And our producer at Chris Kiefer on the Twitter. Follow us at DJournalMemo on Twitter. Also our website, memo.djournal.com. And our website for all news, including what just broke. I guess you heard a few minutes ago about the school lockdown. DJournal.com. Also, latest news and updates. You can get those sent right to your phone at DJournal now on the Twitter. And we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode.
See y'all later.